back finally with our Survivor season rankings that we've promised pretty much every single long off season and have never delivered on. And now we're back with our 2019 edition. First time we're doing this since after Millennials vs. Gen X. And if anybody remembers that, it wasn't just Alexa and I, because Alexa had just come onto the podcast, was just about to replace Will. And yeah, we infamously put Millennials vs. Gen X as our number one season. Mind you, I did not have much to do with that. That was Alexa and Will, having Will put it at number one, Alexa put it at number two. I had it at five. I started in the top five. We do have a new number one season this time. Will is gone. It's just Alexa and I's rankings. So, you know.
Well, you did that much math. You took all Will's rankings out too?
Well, I took Will's rankings out. Will's rankings have nothing to do with it this time. But back in the day, you, me, and Will, we put Millennials vs. Gen X as number one. And I just remember, like, if Reddit doesn't hate, if you think Reddit hates us now, back then it was like, yo, these guys are idiots.
We were eviscerated for that. And we were, I'll have to look back and see like how defensive we were, but you guys were right. That was a little trigger happy of us.
Yeah, it was a little trigger happy. It's no longer number one.
Still a great season, though. I have not, and I know you, Phil, haven't become one of those people who just decided they hated that season, because a lot of people have become that. Still a great season.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. I didn't drop it that far.
Yeah.
I didn't drop it that far, which, by the way, I have all of my rankings and I have how far up or down they've moved. I've been kind of updating my rankings every season. So the only real new one is Edge of Extinction, which we're going to talk about Edge of Extinction. And oh, boy, is Alexa's ranking of Edge of Extinction going to be controversial just because of the one she put it in front of a season that I can't believe she put it in front of that season.
Oh, yeah. I got crap for that last time. I'll stick to that.
She's about to get crap for it again. speaking of trigger happy, but we have not been live on YouTube in a while. If anybody's a patron of us, you know that we've been live quite a lot this summer, putting out Patreon content. We've been doing season 40 winter retrospectives and things like that. So Alexa and I have really been busy. But right now, Google Hangouts is gone. So this is our first live podcast post-Google Hangouts, and we are using StreamYard, which now we have split screen. I can do this fancy thing where I get rid of Alexa completely, and everybody just have a great time. Alexa's gone. We could do this. We get three people in the chat. I can make Alexa small, me big. It's pretty great. So now we have our names. We have the banners. And another cool thing, and I'll just do it for Gamer Girl, because Gamer Girl's here and Gamer Girl's been with us since day one. Gamer Girl, look at the screen, because your name is now on the screen. Wow. I just redid my rankings right before I made my intro for today, says Gamer Girl. So we can actually put up our comments, Survivor Iceland, rank Chris as a winner. That'll be controversial. We'll do that at some point. But we could put that up here. We could put up your comments as we're going along. This way, now when we're actually addressing the comment, people can actually figure out what we're talking about if you're watching the YouTube video. So this is pretty exciting. It's actually a lot better than Google Hangouts was. I'm very excited about it. So yeah, that's where we've been for the last 2 months. Since when was Rick Devens?
Rick Devens was like early July. So gosh, only 1 month, but yeah, it's been a while. But yeah, the StreamYard thing's pretty awesome. When you have the comments under there, it looks like Jimmy Kimmel mean tweets. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. So yeah, whenever Carl comes in and says something, we'll blow him up that way. So
yeah, and it'll be great when we get all of our mean comments that always show up here, and we can actually put our mean tweets up there. So
exactly, we've been wanting to do a mean tweets one for a while. So this might be the perfect time.
Now we can. Well, we have 38 seasons to rank. We know that 39 is on the horizon. It is now August 19th, which means we are just a month and 4 days. 39. Probably be getting a cast assessment or within like the next 2-3 weeks, depending on when the cast is actually announced. But you know, we're almost done with the really long off season where some of you might think Alexa and I have disappeared. But as we said, Patreon, we've been putting out a lot of content. It's just
become
not
a $20 patron. We put out some great stuff this summer for all of our $20 patrons, because obviously you guys are paying a lot and there's no power rankings game over the summer. We were doing season four, alleged season 40 retrospectives, and it was super fun. Pretty much every person who is probably going to be on season 40, we did a quick like 30-minute retrospective about each of them, and it was super fun. So if you guys want to see those and everything else we've been doing, two Q&As per month instead of one. We've been including Robert on them. Become a patron, patreon.com/survivorspecialist.
There you go. So let's get into these. So what we're going to do is we have three lists here. We have my list, we have Alexa's list, and then we have the Survivor Specialist list. So we'll read off the Survivor Specialist list, and then Alexa and I will talk about where we have each of these seasons in our rankings, if it's gone up, if it's gone down, if Alexa had to make any emergency changes at 6:35, just because she realized, oh crap, I actually wanted to move that season down and I forgot. I also love the people asking, whatever happened to the Amazing Race videos? Call Will, ask him.
They did.
I'll give you his number. I'll post it to all of you. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go down. We're going to go down this, Alexa. Yes, we're going to go down this from 38 to number one. That's how we do on the Survivor Specialist rankings. So
yeah, no. I thought we were like good. Never mind. Just keep talking.
Okay, Alexa sending me messages behind the scenes. I don't know what's going on. So here we go. Starting off number 38, which also matches with my number 38, but does not match with Alexa's number 38. I love it. Log Cheese calling it right now. I'm going to put the comment up here because I just love that we can put the comments up. This is so much fun. Redemption Island is going to be 38. And guess what? It is. Redemption Island comes in again. It was 38 last time when it was you, me, and Will. And it's there. Well, it was 33 at the time. God, we've done it. It's been 5 seasons. So there you go. We have Redemption Island at number 38. Yeah, Alexa, you actually put it what I would consider insanely high at number 35.
It really peaks at 35. It is embarrassingly high at 35. But it being at 38 collectively, I am more than cool with. I just hate Worlds Apart. I can at least find people to root for in Redemption Island because I'm forced to. I hate Worlds Apart. That I took me 5 tries to watch that season. Everyone is unlikable. Everyone is unrootable. I thought everyone liked Mama C and she totally gets blown out of the water by Mike. It's a terrible, awful season. And so is Redemption Island. So again, not anything I feel like fighting.
Yeah. And I don't know what a Survivor season would have to do in order for Redemption Island to not be my least favorite of the seasons. Just gonna throw that out there. Like there's been some bad seasons since the last time we podcasted and none of them are even remotely close. Cause all of them are watchable. 38 in our rankings here is not watchable. So moving on, we'll go right up here to number 37, Alexa. People are thinking One World. That's on my list. You got to remember, Alexa does count.
I do. That is the nicest thing you've ever said to me. This is a 50-50 podcast.
This is a 50-50 podcast.
Still unwatchable, though. We're still in pretty unwatchable.
Go ahead, Alexa. You can rattle it. We'll go every other so that you can feel good about it. Right. I know you like this season a lot.
I am a huge fan. I had this in my top 10. This is, I'm just making sure I'm off the right one. Cara Moen is the 37th best season, if not second to worst season of Survivor that's ever been on TV.
I like calling it the 37th best.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's the best. It's one of the best. It's top 37. If you were the 37th best movie ever made, you'd be so pumped. You'd be so pumped. Yeah. But you're just the 37th best Survivor season. I actually had this one ranked at 35. Alexa had it at 36. It's just not good. Not good TV. Poor John Cochran. Not good TV.
Not good at all.
What? Okay. So then we go into, so the way we were pretty much doing this is if there was a tie with the numbers, whoever, like if you had one ranked way higher, like if there was a tie for like 20 points when we added them up together, if Alexa had a season at 3 and I had it at 17 and another season was 10 and 10, we counted the one that was the 3 and 17 as a better season. But then there's two instances where we had just a flat out tie. There was no way to break the tie because in this next instance, I had one season at 37. Alexa had the other at 37. And then we both had them at 34 as well. So our tie here for 35th place, taking up the 35th and 36th spot, I get to rattle off two, which makes me feel good, are season 24, Survivor One World, and season 5, Survivor Thailand. Now, Alexa, why did you put One World astronomically high as you did?
Again, it is the 34th best season in my book. I think, well, what's funny about both Thailand and One World is they both suck because they have really, really dominant winners. And as much as I hate that, Mitch Miller loved that. This is going to be tough to focus with all these popping up. As much as it's not fun to watch, it's like, I'm a huge Kim fan, as I think a lot of people are. So I can at least appreciate it for like her game. And same thing with Brian. It took me a lot longer to enjoy watching Brian, but that's why I have them high. There's at least one person you can enjoy out of it.
Yeah. See, I actually have One World as 37 because I think that once Colton goes home, the season's just downhill. And that says a lot about a season when Colton is the only thing holding you all together. Thailand still has the old school feel, which Alexa and I, as everybody's going to see, we're big old school fans. Like, we love the old school seasons. Alexa's number one is probably the hottest take Alexa has.
And I don't have many.
Yeah, she doesn't have many, but that is definitely one of the hottest takes that she has. But I put Thailand higher than I put it at 34 just because it still has enough of an old school feeling that I can sit down and I can watch it and I'll still enjoy something about it. But most of those things I'm enjoying are pre-merge. And so for me, like, the Troy Zan episode is cool. Colton's okay. Matt Quinlan getting voted out is pretty good. But like, other than that, 37 or One World is a train wreck. So I always go Thailand over it. But, you know, look, we're still in the 35th, 36th, 37th, 38th best seasons. Notice how we have not mentioned one of the seasons post 34 yet. David versus Goliath will probably be the first one we mentioned for like in the 30s here. But that's just obviously. Yes, the best part of Thailand is the attack zone. Correct, Eli Bailey. I like this. I can just throw them all up whenever I want.
Yeah, these are great. Ooh, oh, Eli Bailey, almost said Eli Manning. Fun Broncos logo you got there.
Very nice Broncos logo. Yeah, this is great because we don't even have to say the comments. I can just click it and it just goes there.
I know, but then whichever one of us is talking is definitely going to be focusing on that. I definitely lost the
train. Well, when you're talking, I click because I'm not paying attention to you.
I gotta get the access so we can do it at the same time.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, you do it when I'm talking and I do when you're talking.
Just to throw me off. I have all the power. Also,
I digress. So we're on to number 34. Which is my least favorite season. Phil has this higher, which has ended up at 34, but we have Worlds Apart with 69 points.
Yeah, I actually dropped Worlds Apart quite a bit in my rankings, but I think that had to do with just the fact that I added in a lot of seasons. So it's at 31 for me. It was probably in like, I think it was 28 in the last ranking we did. But yeah, I was surprised you put this as your least favorite because it has its moments. Why is it your least favorite?
I just find it to be so unwatchable. It's just filled with as you're watching it as a viewer, they're unlikable. They're mean to each other. There's no love. It's tough gameplay. It's tough people, and the good guy wins in the end. But it took me. I could not watch that season live. That was the first season that I didn't watch live since I started watching the show. That's how tough it was. So
how does that comment make you feel?
Switching five Worlds Apart is top 10. You should not be listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
That's top 10 season.
I love it though.
Like, I'm sure I would like it more. I would maybe like it more on another shot, but I really don't think I would. I can't watch Will. I can't watch him. He's terrible.
Yeah, I know. Well, this was the time when Will and I were doing the podcast, and a lot of people said that to me. They were like, wow, he's terrible. We can't do Will.
Yeah, it doesn't matter which Will it is.
It didn't matter.
Will Arbuckle, same difference.
I think the reason that I liked Worlds Apart a little bit more and put it at 31, which really like 31, we're talking like bottom 10 season, but still, like, it's bottom 10 of Survivor. Like, I like it. The reason I put it a little bit higher is because I think it was the first season Will and I did a full season of podcasting. And that was just really fun just to like kind of like do it and look at the game that way. So I think I'll always have a little bit higher of a take on Worlds Apart than you will. Yikes, Logchi, that's a terrible comment. Sorry, I'm still distracted. But yeah, I just can't ever. I don't know. Worlds Apart probably won't move up higher. I have every season that aired Siri except ahead of Worlds Apart. I only have one season that aired since then behind it. So, yeah, I still think like Worlds Apart is the worst, one of the worst seasons from the 30s for sure. There's only one season that I have worse.
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one. Speaking of dreadful seasons that I have lower, that I have openly admitted I can never watch. I can never watch it again. I just can't do it. We're at number 33 right now on our collective list. Alexa had this coming in at a really high 32. I had it coming in at 36. We're talking Survivor Nicaragua, which is trash, 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 trash.
That's a tough one. Please get Nicaragua to leave 30. Purple Kelly's awesome. That is a take.
Dropped Nicaragua four spots from 32 when there were only 30 It was at 32 and there were 36 seasons, and I just dropped it down to 36 out of 36. So it tells you everything you need to know about Nicaragua. I like openly hate this season. Yeah,
it's a bad one. Fabio is kind of the only redeeming quality. It's a tough one. It is trash.
I mean, it kind of is, but then at the same time, like, I don't know. I just can't get behind like a whole season that revolves around like Fabio and Marty. Like when those are the two best things about your season, I like both of them a lot, but when they're the two best things about your season's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Because they should not be. And I mean, the rest of that cast post merge is just dreadful. Nyanka is one of the worst characters in Survivor history. The boot order is really bad. So yeah, Nicaragua, I can never get through. Once Marty goes home, I stop watching. So yes, I think Marty's great, but.
And I know this is one of those things. It's like, oh, Brenda and Wu were in commercials, but like the fact that Chase Rice is an extremely successful country singer is so weird.
Yeah.
So shocking.
Yeah.
Like, hearing Chase Rice sing like at a tailgate is jarring.
Where was it? Where'd it go? I tried to click the right one. Here it is.
It's a parody of Survivor. Watch it as satire and it's brilliant. That's pretty good. Solid.
Yeah. Just think about this. Jane Bright won fan favorite of that season.
Yeah. People forget that.
Yikes. Yikes.
Big yikes. Yikes.
Okay. All right, Alex. Well, this is actually a big jump. So we go from 33rd, which had 68 points. So we're talking like we would add them up and we just put it that way. Redemption Island had 73. Nicaragua had 68. So only 5 points separating our 33rd and 38th season. Now there's a 6-point jump from 33 to 32. So, Alexa, what's our 32?
Our 32 is Survivor South Pacific. Still rough season, but I guess not as rough as the other ones we were just talking about. What is your take on South Pacific?
I have it at 33 in my rankings. You had it at 29. So, you know, like we're like in the same ballpark there. I don't know. I just with South Pacific, it always sits better in my mind than it actually played on screen, which is bad because I only put it at 33. But like, I don't know, like Sophie, Coach, Edna, Brandon, Albert, Rick. That's an alliance. That's the majority alliance on this season. Oof. And then you have people like Keith and Whitney and like, who are they? And then, you know, I love Jim Rice, but Jim Rice is the first guy to go home at the merge. The pre-merge, only Christine is really memorable from that entire pre-merge. So yeah, here we go. Go ahead, Alexa. What do you got on South Pacific?
One word to sum up South Pacific is cringy. And that's exactly it. It's, I know some people either do or do not like when religion is brought up in Survivor. I like it because it's a very large part of a lot of people's lives. I felt very uncomfortable watching it being exploited that way. That was just difficult to watch no matter like where you stand on that. And like Phil just listed out the majority alliance. Rick and Edna had a combined, 10 confessionals. Yeah, there was nothing to them. It was the coach show and it wasn't the good coach. Sophie has like 3 minutes worth of like collective humor. And I'm sure if they gave her more, she would have been like, I think she's hilarious, but we only got 3 minutes of it. Like we never really got to see her being that fun. They watched Jack and Jill. So it's top three. That's true. We should adjust this.
We should.
Albert's kind of tough. It's a rough season.
And there's
Brandon,
no way to root
Brandon's
for.
Terrible. I can't watch Brandon.
Yeah. When you sit there and you root for Ozzy, it's like,
and
okay.
His acting. It's actually, that should jack this up.
Yeah, I can't get behind it. It's a rough season and I don't like, yeah, the religion. It wasn't religion. It was cult. That's the problem.
Yeah, that wasn't
was too cultish, but it will be interesting if Sophie Clark is on season 40 to watch Sophie Clark at the play on season 40.
It would be interesting.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Mm. All right. Number 31, exactly where Alexa had it. I had it at 28. We have Survivor Fiji. I don't have anything bad to say about Fiji, but it's just so forgettable. In the time of the best Survivor seasons.
I think we're past like, boo, we haven't gotten a game changes yet. We're past like trash. We're past trash seasons. Fiji's forgettable. And I think the bad guys, like the Four Horsemen are like pretty lame bad guys because they really only happen for like an episode or two. And Earl and Yao Man are just miles better than everybody else. So they're super awesome. Hated the Rocky and Anthony business. That was, again, tough to watch. Forgettable season, but awesome winner and like great, like loved Yao Man, like decent characters. or I guess like the characters who were good were just, yeah, Lisey's fall. That was huge. Oh, she's awful. Yeah. The characters that were big, there were only so few of them.
Yeah, I think that this is a season that really picks up post-merge, and it's actually a lot better on a rewatch than it was the first time. But even like you get Yao Man and Earl, which I like both of them, but like the final three of Earl, Cassandra, and Dreams is a bad final three. I think Michelle is overrated. I mean, I don't get it. She was like the first like Reddit like invisible girl who everybody thinks is the best.
I don't think she wasn't super invisible. She just got totally
got screwed. Yeah. She got screwed. I like Lisey and Rocky entertained me. They were clowns. Like I like that, but you know, the Four Horsemen was pretty good. I mean, I have it at 28 ahead of three seasons that have aired since Millennials vs. Gen X since the last time we did this. So while I still put it low, it's in like my bottom, 11, I guess that is. I still have it higher than three seasons between 34 and 36. So,
So yeah, I guess moving on to that, we have our first recent season for the big 3-0. We have Survivor Game Changers. Changing the game as the 30th best season of Survivor.
As the 30th best season. So, yeah, the last time we did this was for season 33. And now we have it in what? This was season 34. So this is the one like Alexa finally takes over and she has to sit down and watch Survivor Game Changers. Alexa's seventh episode. I think it was your seventh episode of this, like of doing this podcast. Maybe it was your 10th episode or something like that. But just you and me doing this podcast was the Zeke Varner thing. Like, welcome to the show.
I remember I like signed up, whatever, joined this podcast with you. I watched that episode and then I called my mom and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, this is not what I signed up for.
Yeah, it's brutal. Game Changers is the only season out of the new ones that I put behind Worlds Apart. I put it behind Worlds Apart at 32. Every other new season I actually put in front of Worlds Apart, including Ghost Island. So I just want to throw that out there. But yeah, Game Changers is the only one of the new seasons that I think is like, I don't want to watch it again. I just don't want to.
I don't want to watch it again. You should put up the one that says Game Changers is really good if you stop at the JT boot. Great pre-merge.
Very true.
Solid pre-merge until it's not. And then it's just rough. So maybe it gets points because it's a returning season, but yeah, it's
a rough
season.
It has nothing to do with this.
But what's crazy is that number 29 is ahead of this.
I'm not surprised at all. I think 29 is the do you put more emphasis on pre-merge or post-merge? Because the post-merge of 29 that we have here is much better than the post-merge of 34.
I think you got to put more on post-merge just because it's more of what you watch and it's more of what you remember.
And that's why I ended up putting Survivor. Alexa, go ahead. You're the odds. Go.
Am I in the odds? Okay. So
I am.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to announce.
So what is our 29th? Best season, Phil?
Our 29th best season is Survivor All-Stars. And I think that All-Stars, I put it, it's ranked at mine 26. It's ranked, Alexa, as your number 30. I think that the reason I have All-Stars ahead of Game Changers is because like the post-merge in All-Stars is really good. And the moment of Lex versus Boston Rob is iconic. There's nothing from Game Changers that is iconic in a good way. There's plenty iconic in a bad way, but there's nothing from it that's iconic in a good way. And like the fact that this is we're so far removed from this and we know Lex moved on with his life and everything's just gone different. I put All Stars here. I mean, the pre-merge is bad. Like it's
trash.
Yeah. Like we like watching these players play, but it's like bad. And then the post-merge really is, other than the Lex moment and then Kathy going home. It really is just like a pagonging that Shein gets to break up because she's Shein. It's a very unlikable final four. I mean, I like Rupert, but that season it's like Rupert, Jenna, Rupert, Jenna, Amber, Boston Rob is your final four. Like, nah, I'm good.
Yikes. Yeah, that's a tough final four right there. You bring up a good point about like there being iconic moments. Like, are we ever going to see someone wear an I Heart Rob shirt when they win Survivor? Yeah, Tony All-Stars Final Tribal isn't the best. It's like a hot mess. So Game Changers like isn't it's a lesser of a hot mess, and I feel worse about it. At least All-Stars, I can like look back and laugh on how terrible it was. Game Changers, I will never do that.
You put Game Changers ahead of All-Stars.
Yeah, I did. So that's one that I didn't pay much attention to.
Wow, Alexa. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, admitting live.
we'll get to no, I gotta be honest. We'll get to, Phil alluded to a 9:35 freak out that I had. Well, we'll get to that one, but
yes.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. So now we're going down to number 28. Alexa, you get to announce all the new seasons. I'm looking up here. They're all even except for one of them, and it's the bad one.
I do. Well, now that we're in our mid-20s, I feel like we're going to be hitting a lot of our new seasons. Like Phil said, I started with Game Changers. I haven't had a great season since David vs. Goliath, so it was a little tough for a while. Number 28, we have Survivor Ghost Island.
Survivor Ghost Island. I had this one coming at 30. Alexa put it at 25. I think it's just because Alexa loves Wendell. Let's be honest.
It has everything to do with Wendell. No, because this kind of goes back to what you said about you, kind of like how you and Will, this like Worlds Apart was your first big season with them. Like Ghost Island was when, like, at least like when I joined, like we started getting a ton of interviews and like people were real, like we were starting to grow and that was really cool. And honestly, like, maybe this is a take that Ghost Island finale, that nothing has ever like excited me the way that watching that tie went down did. That was just so, that was the coolest thing I've ever watched.
Yeah, putting Ghost Island at 30 for me was like, I was like, how low am I going to put this? I thought it was going to be like bottom four, bottom five. And then it's like, that finale is just so epic. The pre-merge is good to a point, to an extent. The first couple boots, I mean, the Brendan Michael situation where it's like, I think it's going to be me. Whatever, but the post merge is so horrible. It's just terrible. And you know, I love the end, and I love, yeah, Angela with the sea cucumber. Thanks, boring and bland. I'm not gonna put that one up here, but thank you. Like, there's a lot of cool moments in Ghost Island, but not enough like to elevate it to like a mid tier season for me. Like, I still put it a bottom tier season. I would say really up until All Stars, every season I'm talking is like probably like bottom tier, like it had its moments but wasn't good enough. And then my 25 is where I really changed, like, okay, these are now next level Survivor seasons. They're a little bit higher up than what I had at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'd go sound a little high, but yeah, well, compared to what I have in front of Ghost Island, we'll get to that one.
Yeah, we'll get to that. My God, Alexa's gonna break the internet with
this
her hot take.
This is a hotter take than my number one. Hotter take than that.
As hot of a take as this.
I like it. That's a take.
That's a take. I love this one, Boosh Bear. Did we? No, we did not.
We sure didn't. Stay tuned for updates.
But speaking of Edge of Extinction, at number 27, we have Survivor Samoa. Yeah. Russell Hantz is on the edge of Alexa's eyes are going wide. Like, wait, like, oh, what? Phil. What list do I have? Phil, yeah. We had that update. I don't think I did it right. 27, we have Samoa. I put it at 24. Alexa put it down there at 28. Yeah, Samoa's, to me, it's like the bottom part of the mid-tier of Survivor because of Russell. The first time watching Samoa, I had never seen Survivor like that. And yes, it has completely ruined Survivor, or like to an extent, it has ruined Survivor, where it was like, we need idols, we need to bring back peak players, we need to do this, blah, 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 blah. But also watching that live was freaking epic. So if I was just going, like, if this was after season 19, I would probably put this like in like my top five, no joke. But because of what it did to Survivor and on a rewatch, how much worse it is, I drop it all the way down to 24. So at 27, I think that's like a good spot for Survivor Samoa.
Yeah, 27's fair. I think because at least for me, like I couldn't stand watching Russell. And in the end, I don't even get the satisfaction of Natalie winning because I don't know why she won. Mm-hmm. And this kind of goes back to like, and again, I love Sophie. Love Danger Dave Ball. Everyone's like, Dave Ball is so funny. What are you talking about? He had three lines. Like, he literally made two jokes. So I can't even.
Great
like,
jokes, though.
Great jokes, but there were not many of them. Like, I couldn't love him just because I barely saw him. So it was really hard for me to care about anybody because I was told I only have to care about Russell, who I hated.
Yeah, exactly. And I really liked Russell. Like, me and my family loved watching Russell, loved rooting for Russell. Yeah, I rooted for Russell the first season. But
hey,
then it just.
Love it.
I love it. I mean, and then it just kind of just was like the rest of the time. I mean, people too, like somebody just said, what was it? Where's the comment? I can't find it. Where it was like Samoa top five on a first watch. Remember, there are only 19 seasons. It wasn't, yeah. Wasn't that crazy to say back then. Okay.
Like, yeah. Now top five is like the gold standard.
Now top five is a gold standard. All right, Alexa, bring it
Speaking
in for number 26.
Speaking of the gold standard for number 26, we have, you can wait no longer, Survivor Edge of Extinction.
That's it.
There
That's
it is. It. 26. Higher away. What do you think?
I had it at 29. You had it at 23 ahead of a season that, oh my God, when we get to that season, I'm just going to rub this in your face and it's going to be like, oh,
I own this.
When it's Phil and intern doing the podcast for season 39, just remember everybody, this is what caused it. I think that what's going to end up happening is Edge of Extinction out of all the seasons post 33, because I've put them in my rankings and I move them around and whatever. Edge of Extinction is not going to move for me. Like, it'll stay like 29, 30, 31 based on how like the seasons that follow it are. It'll always stay like with the same amount. Like the seasons that are behind it right now will always be around behind it. The seasons that are ahead of it will always be ahead of it. Like, I don't think I'm going to change my opinion on it because it had some great freaking moments. So many great moments. And none of it meant a damn thing because Chris Underwood won. And like, I like Chris. Chris is a good guy, but he won Survivor and was barely on our screen. So when Wardog votes out Kelly Wentworth, it means nothing. When they get rid of Wardog the next episode, it means nothing. When, you know, all these, there's so many things that happen where it just ends up meaning nothing. The Julia Carter boot. How amazing is that? You know how much that affected the game? None, because Chris wasn't in the game yet. Yeah, so that's why I put it down there.
Yeah.
Alexa, you have it at 23. What do you like about it?
I mean, 23 versus 26, it's kind of just like getting into semantics, but I feel the same way. Like, it did, I think it has good characters. The characters are good, but it all just boils down to like what you said. It doesn't matter. And I hate, and we'll get into my take, but I hate involving people who are voted out. I have no tolerance for that in Survivor. So I can't rank it much higher. I can't put it in my top 20. I can't put it in the top half because people were voted at one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is so why bad. I put it at 20. That's why it's in my bottom 10, because somebody who was voted out on day 8 wins the game.
Yeah. Crazy. No.
Crazy. Yeah. I can't get behind that. So yeah, I put it at 29. I have it ahead of Ghost Island. I had it ahead of Game Changers, but I don't think it moves up any further than that. God, Alexa, I can't wait. But anyway, we're now going to number 25, which is one of the ones Alexa and I differed on the most. We had a huge gap here. I had it at 18. Alexa had it at 33, which means Alexa was wrong. And I was right, because that's just how this works when I'm the one announcing it. Survivor Marquesas. And I don't know when the last time you watched Marquesas was, and I'm not trying to say that you change your mind, but Marquesas is a season that every time I watch it, I say, wow, I should have it so much higher than I do. And I move it up almost every single time. I moved it up 5 spots from our last ranking to this ranking. So, I mean, it's just one. I watched it recently and I was a huge fan. That pre-merge is so cool. And the blind side of John Carroll is amazing. And then it's a big lull and it's really lame. And then you get the purple rock. I mean, there's some great moments on this season. I would say that Marquesas for me is like right at the top of my mid tier of Survivor seasons, right before I get to top tier, which I above top tier, I have excellent tier. So I have like a bunch of tiers of Survivor, but I think that, yeah, I think that Marquesas is right at the top of my mid tier of Survivor.
I can't speak to it that much because I've only watched it once. So this has everything to do with that. I know just about nothing about that season, and that's 100% on me, but I can't rank it higher just because I don't know any, I don't know much about it.
But so, you had to hurt me and you had to put it behind Nicaragua, Alexa.
I found Nicaragua to be oddly entertaining.
you had to do that to me.
I had to do it. I had to just get you in the heart.
You did. I mean, God, put it be that might, yeah, that's brutal. But yeah, I mean, Marquesas, big gap. It's always like the forgotten season out of those early ones because everybody remembers the first 3 and then everybody like always remembers they hate 5. And then Amazon with Rob Cesternino and Pearl Islands. Pearl Islands, Pearl Islands, Pearl Islands.
You're not making me feel bad because I feel so strongly about how I feel.
I didn't say anything, Alexa. I didn't say anything. Just read the comments. Just read the comments.
What were you saying? Phil, we got to keep the flow going.
Oh, we're good. We're good. We're up to 24, Alexa. You're up.
Speaking of being up, Survivor Cook Islands is number 24.
Survivor Cook Islands. This is always, to me, the hardest season to rank out of any Survivor season.
This is a weird one, yeah.
It's so, because there's times where I say, is this a top 10 season? And there's other times where I say, is it the worst season that Survivor's ever had? And I just, I mean, I just, you know what? Screw it. It's at 23 for me. And I've dropped it four spots since last time. And Alexa, you had it at 26 coming in. I never know what to do with Cook Islands ever.
I mean, I guess at this point it's in our like straight up middle to like back half. So that's pretty perfect. It's kind of like, where do you put the first season? Like, how do you rank that? How do you like Cook Islands is such a weird one. So I think this is right. Cause I think it births a lot of really good characters. It has good characters in the moment. The idol is what it is. Yule versus Ozzy's awesome. The bottle twist is what it is. Like the twist itself is not great. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty to like and plenty to not like. So yeah, it should be right in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, we have Pender, we have Candace, we have Ozzy, we have Yule, we have Parvati, we have even Adam Gentry is like a good character. You have people like mm-hmm. Flicka who go pre-merge. Cowboy, maybe the most underrated Survivor player ever.
True game changer.
Cowboy, true game changer. I mean, a lot of really cool things. We have Billy Garcia, we got Sekou. And then, but the thing is like, this is one of those, all the pieces are good, but like, it's like making a really bad stew. Like you don't put like you don't put a cheeseburger and ice cream in a stew, but you like cheeseburgers and you like ice cream. That's how Cook Islands is to me. I like the pieces. I don't like the whole.
Hmm. That's very deep. I like that.
I just came up with that right now.
Yeah. I don't want my cheeseburger and my ice cream in a stew.
No, nobody. I don't think if anybody eats a cheeseburger and ice cream in a stew, call
us out
and then leave. Yeah. thanks for coming. I finally get to announce a new season, Alexa. I'm so excited.
There you go. Speaking of Phil being excited,
David. No, I'm just kidding, guys. I'm just kidding. It's another one with a bunch of verses in it. We got heroes versus healers versus hustlers. Johnny Fairplay and Joe Mena say it's like the worst season to ever happen. I don't buy it. I got it at 27. I think it's just above the bottom tier of Survivor. Alexa had it all the way up at 22. I mean,
I thought it was a good season. I thought it was enjoyable. I thought there were really good characters. I thought there were a lot of good moments. I thought there were a lot of like good, what am I saying? Not like learning lessons moments, but like the Joe and Ben feud, like when Joe was poking him about his PTSD, mm-hmm. like everyone had a take on that. Like whether they felt good about it or bad about it, everyone had something to say about that. The like the pasta reward, I would watch that every time. That thing was awesome. I thought Heroes was a really good season. Yeah, I don't like how it ended. Loved Lauren Rimmer. Like there's so many good characters that came out of that season.
I like how it ended. I don't even care. I say it openly. Like I thought that finale was a really great finale, and I still think it's a really great finale. I think that there's a lot of bad parts of this season. I mean, Jessica is my rooting interest the entire pre-merge, and then she goes home and doesn't even make the jury. Allie Elliott going home early sucked, but Pat Bolton and Allie Elliott were fun. I mean, that's good. Alan Ball, very fun pre-merge character. And then at the merge with Cole, just being Cole and Joe Mena and the mission accomplished and Devin Pinto. I just am I'm a big fan of a lot of moments from this season. Putting it at 27 to me says how much I like Survivor. I think so many people are like, so many people put this so far down and will say it's like the worst season. I just totally disagree. I think there's a lot of great characters. I think there's a lot of really fun moments. Like you said, the pasta challenge. I'm surprised they haven't brought that back again. So I like it. That's all I got. I mean, I like it, but I put it at 27. That's how mm-hmm. much I like Survivor. That's why I do a podcast about Survivor.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
Speaking of starting a podcast about Survivor, for number 20, where am I clicking? Number 22, we have Survivor San Juan del Sur, the first podcast that Phil and Will did.
We did three episodes of it.
Okay, count it. We're counting it.
We did the last three episodes, Will and I. They're really funny. I actually just muted the videos, but we'll bring them back soon. I just muted them for another reason. But anyway, yeah, it's at number 22. I have San Juan del Sur at 25. Alexa, you had it at 20. San Juan del Sur, I just rewatched it before we did the Kelly Wentworth podcast, which if you haven't listened to the Kelly Wentworth podcast, go and listen to the Kelly Wentworth podcast.
Good point.
It is our highest viewed tell-all that we've ever had. So if you haven't done that, go and listen to it. Make sure that it keeps pulling away from Lauren and Wardog and all the others. Kelly Wentworth is our highest one there. But I rewatched that podcast or that season up until Kelly gets booted. And I actually found that I was really enjoying it. It's a train wreck. It's an absolute train wreck. But it was pretty fun to watch the train crash because, like, I knew nobody was going to get hurt. You know what I mean? Like
everyone was seatbelts were buckled.
Yeah, exactly. Like, or everybody's just kind of watching the train, and it was like, whoa, who's driving that? Like, I don't know. Drew Christie was driving the train. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But like I totally disagree with this right here. Totally disagree. John Rocker on that season. Oh, he makes it early on. Him versus Natalie, Jeremy, him and Val, him trying to save Val, and then Val getting voted out because she claimed to have two idols, and John told her to play the idol. Oh, it's a beautiful train wreck. Like, I can't stop watching. And Kelly Wentworth going home because she's playing with her dad. It's like, just like,
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like it.
Like, characters are really good on that season. That's like, I think, why it's in that early 20s. What about Farm Guy 69? Farm Guy 69 is like the best parts come out of that season. Who makes that the Twitter handle? It's incredible.
It's also insane that Farm Guy 69 didn't play again as like the only old guy who like actually kind of fit in on his tribe. Like Dale is like
kind of work.
Dale wasn't a bad Survivor player. Dale and Kelly got screwed because when the swap happened, it was three couples and their couple just happened to be on the wrong side of it. It was a bad swap. Yeah. It was a bad swap.
I like San Juan also. I remember Will eviscerated me for liking this season because he said it was trash gameplay, which, yeah, there was, but there was also freaking insane gameplay by Natalie. Yeah. So the characters are good. It's a train wreck. It makes the Redemption Island thing kind of work. It's I like it.
It's a bad, like, you know what the problem is? After Jeremy and Josh go home, everybody knows Natalie's going to win. And most of the cast after that is very, like, Wes doesn't do much. Alec doesn't do much. Baylor doesn't do much. I mean, like, Missy doesn't really do much. She tears her, Achilles? I mean,
yeah, that's pretty, like, hardcore.
That was a big moment. I mean, Reed had one episode. Like, there just wasn't much left after Josh and Jeremy went home. And that's the biggest problem.
And that was kind of like the Dom and Chris thing. Like, they played that at so much and then it ended after one episode. And I was like, oh, that was a little disappointing.
Yeah. Now the next one, Alexa, right across the board, 21, 21, 21.
Which is pretty impressive because it should be 20, 20, 20, because that would be like more poetic if it was the 20th season, because we're about to hit the middle. We have the original Survivor Borneo at number 21. Another now, weird one.
Yeah, I mean, I never know what to do with Borneo because I love Borneo, but then I also did not watch Borneo live. That's the only season of Survivor I did not watch live. So I started Australia episode 2. That's the first episode I ever watched live. So I don't have the same affinity with Borneo that a lot of people have, but also, like, Borneo's great. It's very fun to watch. It's a very it's very exciting to watch this happen. But now if you're going to go back and you're going to watch a Survivor season, like, I'm not picking Borneo. If I'm picking Borneo, like, then why am I still watching the new seasons? Like, it's so much different.
Right.
It's just so much different. I think it's fun. I love Rudy, love Hatch, love Greg Buis, best character of all time. But, like, it's nostalgia.
It's just different. Yeah. It's not Survivor at this point, which is fine. I don't want that, but it's just, you're watching a completely different show if we watch it right now. I wasn't even alive for this season, LOL. Best comment of the night.
I mean, it's awesome. Crazy. That's how long Survivor's been on. We're about to hit our 20th year, you know? But,
oh my God.
But if you're ranking just casts, Borneo is one of the top casts. But if you're ranking Survivor as a whole, like, I used to give it points. This is the only thing I ever agreed with Will on. I used to give it nostalgia points. I used to be like, well, it's the first season. It gets credit for, like, creating the whole thing. And then it was like, but so what? Like, Doctor knows the first James Bond. If that's your favorite James Bond movie, like, stop watching James Bond movies because Doctor knows boring. Like, and, like, I'm not saying Borneo's boring, but there's certainly some boring parts of Borneo.
It can be slow.
It can be slow. I mean, the Pagonging is boring. Colleen is not boring. Greg is not boring. Jervis is not boring. Gretchen is not boring. Unfortunately, they're the first people who are voted out after the freaking merge hits, you know? And then we do get stuck with, unfortunately, the good alliance is also a little bit less interesting than the other group. So yeah, it's, you know, no twist, anything like that. I liked once they started swapping up the tribes, throwing an idol here and there, not to the extent it is now, but I liked when it started to mix up a little bit. So yeah.
Yeah. This is always going to be a tough one.
That's it. Yeah. All right, number 20. I put this at 19. Alexa, you put it at 19, and then it came in at number 20. So
that obviously makes perfect sense.
That's math for everybody. We got Survivor Palau.
I, for some reason, thought you were going to have yours a lot higher than mine. I feel like a lot of people are really, really crazy about Palau. I feel neutral to slightly positive about it, which is why I have it at 19. I think a lot of Palau is really boring because it's a begonging. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie's great. Tom's great. It's an oolonging. Exactly. Katie is, like, at this point, kind of forgettable. Like, the Tom and Ian thing, I didn't, like... Like, when Ian gives up immunity, I know people say that's, like, one of their favorite moments of all time. I couldn't get with that as much as I think everybody else could.
I mean, it goes back to kind of what we talked about before Edge of Extinction. We said that the Blue Tribe, we were just calling it the Blue Tribe, and I can't remember their name anyway now at this point. But we said the Blue Tribe was going to be, like, the entertainment tribe, while the other tribe would be good at Survivor. And that's the truth. And that's the case with Survivor Palau. You know, the entertaining tribe is Angie and James and Bobby John and Stephanie, mm-hmm. and Jeff and I forget what, Kim. Like, watching those, and I don't want to say idiots because I know in real life they're not idiots, but watching those people like bumble around the island was amazing. I loved it. And they are such great characters. I mean, Angie and James Miller deserve to play Survivor again. Like, they deserve to play Survivor again. I don't care if James Miller is not PC. It was 2005. He didn't have to be back then to get on TV. And he's hilarious. And he actually wasn't a bad Survivor player. They just ran out of people to vote out. So I think Angie and James, like, great players. But I do think that Karor, unfortunately, has some, you know, not duds. It's just like, there's just certain people you're not rooting for there. It was pretty obvious Tom or Ian were going to win. Greg wasn't going to do it. Jen wasn't going to do it. I mean, Karen, for as much as Alexa loves Karen, Karen wasn't going to do it.
Karen sucks. And it's not me making a joke that's like, I don't, she sucks.
Karen sucks. And then I love, I mean, I do love Kobe. Kobe's very fun. But, like, again, Kobe didn't have the ammunition. So post-merge, it's a wild post-merge because you're watching one tribe now have to eat itself. But also, like, Janu quits, and then it's just like, once Janu quits and Kobe goes home and then Stephanie goes home, you're like, well, this is Tom's game. There's no way Tom loses. It's fun to watch him backstab his best friends, but there's no way he's going to lose this game. So, yeah, it's like right there in the middle for me. Yeah. I can't go anywhere else with it.
I feel that. All right. I'm glad I'm doing this one. Speaking of things that I'm not that into, number 19, we have Survivor Pearl Islands. Phil has Survivor Pearl Islands at number 12. I have Pearl Islands at 24. This is my take. I do not like Pearl Islands. This has nothing to do with my undying passion for Johnny Fairplay and all of the weird half-naked photos that he sends me. That season is not enjoyable for me. That the Outcast twist, this is going... I alluded to it with Edge of Extinction. Absolute trash twist. Horrible, horrible twist. They don't tell them about it. They don't tell us about it. I didn't like it. Alexa's going to hear it. I will take it. I don't care. The season is not enjoyable for me. The Outcast twist is so bad. And to me, that entire season is encapsulated by that one treasure hunt that they had to do. Sam Hinkson wasn't alive for the season. Good, because it sucks. They go on this treasure hunt and they open it and it's like expired Jell-O. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so... That is what, like... I'm told to go on this great treasure hunt. I'm told to dig up this awesome treasure chest. I open the treasure chest and it's just shit in there. That is how I feel about the season. I didn't really like Sandra in the season. I found her hard to like, and I hate Rupert. Not a Rupert fan. Do not need him on my TV. Done.
I have it at number 12. So obviously I got to talk some positive here. And I think that,
please.
And I always put it low. I mean, for survive by Survivor icon.
Yeah, you
standard,
have it very low.
Like, that's low for a lot of people. So Alexa putting it one spot behind Edge of Extinction. Everybody let that sink into their noggins. She put Edge of Extinction one spot ahead of Survivor Pearl Islands.
That was very purposeful.
Here's the thing with Survivor Pearl Islands. Even if you don't like Rupert, he's an icon. Austin, Savage, Rhino, T. Beautiful. Love it. Give me it. Love it. Love it. They're ridiculous. Savage is so dramatic on this season. Savage, like, sitting there being like, oh, we're literally starving to death. Oh my God. It's wow, so fun.
Pretty well.
And then you have Fairplay on the other side, who's about to get choked out by Rupert, by Burton. Sean's trying to punt him over the edge of a cliff. Sandra's about to beat him up because, I mean, who couldn't beat him up? I mean, it's just fun. The pirate theme is the best theme Survivor has ever done too. Like it really is. It's so yeah, cool. That premiere alone is enough to put it above Edge of Extinction in my book. So like I put it at 12, I put it outside my top 10 and a lot of people give me crap. Alexa put it outside her top 23.
Put it in the comments, people. You know my Twitter handle. Let's hear it.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, I think that Pearl Islands has some of the most iconic moments. Lil and Burton coming back is not great, but Burton coming back so he can hang out with Johnny Fairplay and Johnny Fairplay could screw him over. Love that. I mean, Johnny Fairplay's confessional to freaking Sean of, what does he say? Cover your ears, kids. Fuck you. Amazing. It's so funny. I mean, it's just great. If Fairplay wins that season, it's probably easily in my top five because it would have just been the most ridiculous winner. I mean, the guy lies about his dead grandma and then wins. And for anybody who's young, I know a lot of you have been saying you weren't alive during the time. Yeah. Pearl Islands, when that aired, yo, Johnny Fairplay was like the most hated man in America because like 15 to 20 million people were still watching Survivor every week when that aired. And I remember like my parents like were ready to murder him. Like they were ready to like get on the phone and like find his number, which now he would just, you know, if you're Alexa, he'll just give you the number. It doesn't even matter.
What is he, buy a t-shirt on his website and he calls you? Like it's easy to get in contact with them.
No, it's not hard. But at the time, everybody was so angry. But I love it. We got Pearl Islands at 19 though in the official Survivor Specialist ranking. So there you go. That's where we're putting it. We'll say it there. So we are now into the top. At 19 is the top half because we're only doing 38 seasons. All right, Alexa.
No, I did mine. I dropped my bomb.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, number 18. So this is probably going to piss off a lot of even old school fans just because we put this one right ahead of Pearl Islands, which I don't think there's many people who think this season is better than Pearl Islands. I don't give a damn, even though I have it below Pearl Islands. I have it at 22. Alexa has it all the way up at number 12. Big jump there. Survivor Africa, the third season of the show. One of the simplest iterations of Survivor, and yet it mm-hmm. does work so well. It really
it's
does
so
work.
It's so simple, and it's Africa. And again, we barely talked about locations, probably because all of the new seasons we've talked about so mm-hmm. far, but Africa is just, like you said, it's the simplest, yet T-Bird, I don't need to say anything else. Mm-hmm. It is just the simplest form of Survivor. They're surviving in Africa to the point where it's like they get dysentery. Like they are truly like not surviving. Africa is so, so, so good. Lex is amazing. Lex, Ethan, and Big Tom are so good. T-Bird is great. It's such a good season. Big Tom loses 80 pounds. If I lost 80 pounds, I would have died 60 pounds ago. Like it's just well, it's
to be fair, you're not as big as Big Tom. No offense, I'm not. Alexa, you're not that big.
Thank you. That's the nicest. That's quite nice.
Although he's
a Jew. He can't eat the ham. I mean, impossible to be such a good season.
And okay, I love Lindsay. I love Silas. Like I love that. I love them getting screwed by the swap. Oh, yeah. I think Brandon and Frank is such a great pairing. Love them having a watch out of Africa together. Like Frank just whatever. But Frank was also like this deep character. For as ridiculous as he could be, he was this deep character and I liked him. Kim Powers, was that supposed to be Julie Rosenberg? I mean the it's out there. Who knows?
Listen to our tell-all. Listen to Julie Rosenberg.
Yeah, if you can listen to your mom say some bad words, go listen to Julie Rosenberg with our tell-all. But yeah, I mean, there's some great moments. I have it at 22. I dropped it down a couple spots, not much. This one always falls like right in the middle there. I never really know where to put it. But man, Kelly, Lex, you know, T-Bird, Tom, there's just so many great characters on this season. Probably takes a little bit of a hit just because it was the first season to go into the merge where the numbers were uneven and there was no way to make it work any differently. Mm-hmm. Like, probably the best pre-merge out of the first three seasons, but the post-merge is just weak, you know, because we know everything that's going to happen.
Yeah. Lex having a meltdown over who voted for him. So good. Hello.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then Kelly just like, hey. Yeah. Kelly Goldsmith. Is like, hi.
Yeah. Fantastic.
All right.
Speaking
Alexa.
Of fantastic seasons, Survivor Philippines number 17. Great season. 17 I feel like Philippines is always going to seem too high. Like if someone put Philippines in their top 10, I wouldn't be shocked. I should probably put in my top 10. Great characters. Denise is such a good winner. Denise and Malcolm, just a ridiculous pair. Two people you'd never put together. What are your thoughts on Philippines, Phil?
I have it at 16. You have it at 14. I had it at 11 the last time we did this. 11 out of 33. Now I have it at 16, and I only put one of the new seasons ahead of it. In David vs. Goliath. That's the only season I have ahead of it. I think Philippines is great. I do think that on a rewatch, it's not as great. And I did rewatch it not too long ago. I'm not a big Lisa fan. Scooping, is what he is. And then I don't know. I think that there's just what is this? There you go. I think this was the best iteration of the three tribes. Like, they finally figured out how can we bring back one player to be the captain of each tribe and have it work. And like, it really worked here because they weren't the biggest characters either. You had Russell Swan, Jonathan Penner, Mike Scoop, and they're not the biggest characters. It did probably, this is probably the most important thing, it did kind of save Survivor. It really did. We had a terrible run from 21, 22, 23, 24. Horrible run. All in our bottom, God, eight. Seasons, bottom seven seasons, bottom six seasons, whatever it is. Really bad. Great cast of characters, great moments, cookies, things like that. Zane at the beginning, everybody was his number one. A lot of good things. Just a lot of also forgettable characters that people forget about. Artists. Pete really didn't do much until post-merge because that tribe kept winning. RC, I mean, I don't think she ages well in terms of, like, do we really love RC? Like, I don't think so. You had Dana and Katie, like, they didn't do all that much, but we did have cool moments where Dawson kisses Jeff and
love,
you know,
that.
You know, and Abby Maria, she was born there. So that's it. I like it, you know.
And now we're moving on to a tie.
Yes, now we move on to a tie. So I get to announce another tie. I always love announcing ties. Right? Because I do this one? Yeah, I think I do this one. Okay. So here's our tie. This is a tie for 15th place. So taking up the 15 and 16 spots, we have Survivor Cambodia and Survivor Blood versus Water.
Different seasons.
Yeah, I had Blood versus Water at 13. Alexa had at Cambodia at 13, and then I had Blood versus Water, or she had Blood versus Water at 17, and I had Cambodia at 17. So that's where the swap comes here. That's why we have it here. Tied. I love Blood versus Water. I love it. I love it so much. I've moved it up spots since the last time we ranked, and I probably would end up moving it up even higher. I love Tyson. I love Sierra. I love the pre-merge of this season. It is just phenomenal. It's phenomenal TV. And Cambodia for me, I actually dropped a couple spots from the last one just because I think that that's one, the hype around it going in was so epic. And then you just kind of like take a second. You're like, maybe it's not as epic as it was at the beginning.
Yeah, Cambodia's, they're both returnee seasons, but Cambodia, like that, the hype on Cambodia was crazy. I rewatched it right after finishing Edge of Extinction. I really liked it. I don't think I like Blood versus Water as much as you, but I think the idea is really cool. I don't like it. I know that's pretty hypocritical because I hate how much, F you, Brad Culpepper. I mean, that alone should put it in like a top 10 season, but I mean, I like the idea of playing with your family. I think it's a really, really creative idea. Mm-hmm. I think it brings out the like emotional part of Survivor, and it forces you to be strategic with it, which you don't really see very often. Brad Hayden. Hayden was fantastic. No idea where he's been. He's not dating Kat anymore, allegedly.
Yeah.
They're both good seasons. I think they're both in the right spot.
Yeah, those pre-merge guys though on that fans tribe. Oh, they are so ridiculous. They are so funny watching John and Caleb and Brad and them just like implode. It's so good. I put it top 13 right behind Pearl Islands. That is, I would say that Blood versus Water starts my like top tier. Marquesas, and then up to like Blood versus Water is like just where like I'm still in like that middle to top, and then I get like my top tier, and I think Blood versus Water is probably the start of that. The season that wouldn't quite start it is the next one. It would be probably my top season in like my mid tier, Alexa, one that jumped up 10 spots for both of us.
Yeah, and I'm sure this had nothing to do with the mutual rewatch we did. Survivor Guatemala, number 14 on the Survivor Specialist. You guys have not watched Guatemala, which I'm sure you have because you're all super fans. It is a really, really good season. Awesome premiere. Everyone dies. Like, it's psycho premiere. You bring back Stephanie. You also bring back Bobby John, which is just a little funny. And you get Stephanie at, like, you think Stephanie's one thing and she's totally not. Danny Boray calling out Gary Hogaboom. Judd existing. Judd yelling at, like, it's such a good season. What's her name? Who he yells at when she's trying to help him? Who's the nerd?
Margaret.
Like, Judd yelling at her when she's trying to, like, help him. It's such a good season. Brandon's awesome. Great season.
Yeah, it's the characters are fantastic. This was one I had ranked all the way down at 24 the last time we did it. 24 out of 33. That's where I had this ranked. And now I have it at 14. That's a huge jump. And I don't think that that has anything to do with other than just being a great freaking cast with great moments all the way through from top to bottom. You go from the pre-merge, from the premiere to the finale. This is just an incredibly fun season. I love Hogaboom. Loved Brandon. Amy O'Hara, Brian Corden going home early. Yeah. Margaret. Even Jim as a first boot is a very good first boot. And of course, I mean, there's nothing else that needs to, you know, we'll just keep clicking all the Judd comments here. You know, I mean, it's just Judd is unbelievable. I hope you all get eat by freaking crocodiles. I mean, it's just he's so good. Oh, and Gamer Girl coming in clutch. Don't forget Jamie Newton, because we kind of
did. Jamie and him Bobby John
making out. I mean, they were all about it.
I've never seen testosterone like that in my entire life.
So funny. I mean, it's just amazing. What's interesting about this season, it's like a very Southern season, and it almost like fit the location. Like, it really did. It kind of had like that dirty, like, grind it out. We're going to work harder than you. We're going to win this season. A lot of Midwestern people, a lot of Southern people. And it was great. I mean, it was great. And finally, supposedly for season 40, we're going to see a Guatemala player play for a second time.
Let's go.
Can't wait to watch Danny Boatwright get out there and hoof it again. I'm so excited.
Your turn?
Yeah, my turn. So Alexa puts this one at her number 9. I put this one at my number 20. So it comes in at 13. This one didn't move up as much for me on a rewatch because I'm still pissed off Terry Dietz didn't win. But it's Survivor Panama coming in at number 13, which I'm surprised that we still have this ahead of Guatemala, although they came in with the same amount of points. It's just that you had Panama in your top 10, so that's why we put it up there, put Panama ahead of Guatemala. But Survivor Panama, yeah, the Kasaya 6 is like the real deal. I mean, they're the real deal.
That's the thing. It's just the characters, and I know it's so – I hear so many people say, like, oh, Kasaya's awesome. Lamina sucks. Lamina doesn't suck. They're like the, you almost need them to show how crazy the Kasaya group is. I think Austin's great. I liked Sally. Terry's a gigantic part of the season. Dan Barry's an astronaut. So there's that season is just filled with so many good characters. You get Sari 1.0, you get Shane and Courtney. I could watch just 10 Shanes versus 10 Courtneys, and it'd be the best season of Survivor I've ever watched.
Yeah. Go on our website, our super sketchy, not secure website that we literally use just to do our podcast. And I have the incombustible theory of Dan Fuego. And Dan Fuego is the best ever to get booted pre-merge. I love him so much. The man's an astronaut and couldn't figure out a 4-piece puzzle when he had a humongous lead. That's why he goes home. Oh, I love Dan Fuego. Dan Fuego alone is why this is in my top 20. If Dan Fuego's not in the season, it's probably down another 10 spots. But I love him so much. And then you got Terry. Who doesn't love Terry? Okay, I know a lot of people, but who doesn't love Terry? I love Terry. Sari, first iteration of Sari. Come on. I mean, there's just so much great stuff here. And the first time we really see Exile Island. I know we saw it in Palau, but this is the first time we really see Exile Island. It works perfectly. Exile Island is just awesome. Probably takes a knock for me because of the season, the first couple of episodes, like when it's like the first episode, especially, it's like, oh, we're going to do 4 tribes of 4. It's like, yeah, let's never do that again.
And then it doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that was dumb. Well, that's it on Panama, Alexa. Yeah. It's in your top 10. Is that our first season to show up in either of our top 10s?
This case last year to air last time too. So now we're going to number 12, Survivor Gabon. I think we can dispel any. There's always people who say, oh, yeah, there's people who love Survivor Gabon. People hate Survivor Gabon. I don't know anyone who hates Survivor Gabon. So that.
I think Survivor players hate Survivor Gabon.
Yeah. I think people who played in Survivor Gabon hate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I love Survivor Gabon. I mean, I love it from the first episode to last. I have it at number 8 in my top here. So I mean, the cast is phenomenal. And it's a bunch of angry, bitter people. But I love it so much. I love Randy. I love Corinne this season. I love Sugar. And then you have like a nice guy win. And you have Maddie who finishes 4th. And when Maddie's proposing to his girlfriend, it's awesome. GC, who made the Zaddy calendar. I mean, come on.
What a guy.
He went missing. They could not find him. Crystal Cox, Kenny Hong. I don't know how to say his last name, but we're going to go with that.
Falling deeply in love in the premiere.
I mean, like, there's just so many epic moments. Alexa, you had it down at 16, but when I look at these seasons you have ahead of it, I can't really argue any of them except for maybe Panama.
Yeah, it gets tough now.
It gets tough. So I had it at 8. I just love it. I really do. I mean, I like Bob as a winner. Go ahead, people. Get mad. I like Bob as a winner. Should have been on 40. Just saying it now. He shouldn't have been on 40. But I love Bob. I liked Bob from day one. And I know he's not really a Survivor winner, but he's a really cool player. Ace getting totally tricked, or Charlie Sugar getting Marcus. Totally tricked, and Ace going home. Marcus throwing the damn thing in the ocean and then going home. I mean, I just love it. I love it.
It's great.
Yeah. I don't like so.
No, your turn.
Oh, okay. So finally. This has everything to do with the fact that Alexa had a panic at 6:35.
Panic.
A panic. It was, oh, crap, that doesn't belong there. Because Alexa finally opened her dang eyes. And Alexa's
too busy looking at the late 20s because that's where the past few seasons have been.
Yes. And I just want to tell everybody that it was Alexa and Will's fault that Millennials Roshan X ended up as our number one last time. And now I would like to announce that Alexa has recorrected to the point where I have Millennials Roshan X ranked higher than Alexa does. So our number 11 season, dropping a whole 10 spots, missing the top 10. Is Survivor Millennials versus Gen X. I dropped it 5 spots from number 5 to number 10. Alexa dropped it from number 2 to number 11. I know that because I did it an hour ago.
And everyone said, you guys are ridiculous. You're putting this all in your top 5. 2 of you are putting this in your top 2. You guys were kind of right. And I know we just said this when we started this an hour and 7 minutes ago. Still love the season. I am not one of those people turn around and hate that season. But maybe it was a little bit of recency bias. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely recency bias had a lot to do with the fact that we had just interviewed all these people. Adam had won. Adam was a fan of us. We had just talked to Sunday Bread. This is the first season that that Will and I had done interviews with any Survivor contestants. So, like, I can't, you know, it's like, God, it was just so much fun. It was the most fun I'd had watching a Survivor season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's dropped off a bit. I mean, I like to go back for the nostalgia. And honestly, Millennials vs. Gen X has kind of fallen. A bit in my own mind. I mean, it just doesn't mean as much as it did at the time. I still love the cast. I love the people who played it. Love Adam Klein. Love David. But yeah, I just can't. I can't keep it in my top 5. It doesn't deserve it. So yeah, I moved it down to 10. Alexa moved it all the way out of her top 10 after putting it at number 2.
I did, and now we are officially in the top 10.
Yes, we're officially in the top 10, so we want to take a moment to thank our sponsors. Okay, cool. We're on to number 10. That was good, right?
Sponsor, please contact us.
That was good. I do like this, though. We'll put this up here. Adam is a great winner. Adam, just so Adam knows in case he watches.
Adam, we love you.
Yeah.
And to start our top 10, we have Survivor Amazon.
Which is the biggest disparity Alexa and I had in our entire rankings. This season is my number 3. It's Alexa's number 18. So Alexa clearly was drunk when she watched it because she's wrong.
I struggled with the winner. I struggled with the guys versus girls. I'm not crazy about it. Like it, not crazy about it.
Love it. Love every second of it. It saved Survivor. Literally saved the show. Would not be on the air had Survivor season 6 not happened. I love the men versus women this time around. You get the them thinking about what the women are doing and all that. Like, it's hilarious. It's like the most like of the era. Such like a even though it was like 2003, it still has that 90s feel to it. And like, that was the 90s. The 90s was, let's wear baggy shorts that have a lot of pockets and let's think about chicks all the time. Like, that's what it was. And they thought about the chicks so hard that Jenna Maraska blinded them all and won the damn game. Matt Von Erdfeldt is one of the weirdest guys to ever play Survivor.
Rob Sestanino with one of the best quotes ever. Like, why is he sharpening the machete? He's going to kill us. So good.
Look, I love this. I put it at three, guys. I put it at three.
Guys, we like him. We like him.
I put it at three. I mean, just
We thought we were safe.
We thought we were safe. I loved Dave, the rocket scientist. I thought he was cool. I liked Dave and Jenna getting to go and do their little thing together and how mad that made everybody. Roger Sexta going home at 10 is the happiest America's ever been in the last 15 years. So, like, yeah, I love everything about Survivor Amazon. If you're going to tell me, like, I can only bring three seasons of Survivor onto an island with me, Survivor Amazon makes it onto the island with me. No doubt about it. I love the cast. I love Alex. Love Dina. Just, I love everything about it. Everything about it. Shauna, the original fallen angel. I mean, Shauna is just great. And she's goes too soon because she was sick or whatever happened. Loved it. Loved it. All right, Alexa. All right. Oh, the rest of these we pretty much agree on. So now it won't be too ridiculous. That was really the only one that we disagreed on out of our top 10. Yeah,
and I think these are ones that the general public will agree on too. So I don't think there are too many takes here. But next up for number 9, we have Survivor Token Chains. Fantastic season.
Fantastic season, Survivor Token Chains. I put it at 11, just behind Millions vs. Gen X. Alexa had it at 7.
Great auction.
Great auction, yeah.
Auction.
It's just like, I don't know. I think that Token Chains is grade A characters. Every character is bringing it. Even the ones that you kind of forget are just amazing. Sierra is an amazing character. Debbie's probably my least favorite on the entire season, and she's still great. The pre-merge isn't all that exciting, to be completely honest, but it's the fact that you're watching Coach every day and you're watching these cross tribe alliances try to be formed with Steven and Taj. And then you had Brendan. I mean, come on. Brendan is so good. I just think that it was an old school season that happened almost at the midway point of where we're at in Survivor right now. Token Chains was able to still be old school despite having Idols, Edge of Extinct, or not Edge of Extinct, Exile Island. Having a character like Coach, it still managed to feel old school. JT and Steven voting out Taj to bring Aaron to Final Three with them is like one of my favorite Survivor moments. It's so funny. So yeah, I love
Token. So good. And the concept of the Exile Alliance is so good. And it turns out to be nothing. It's just a fantastic season. So yeah.
Alexa, you put That one you have in front of Panama and everything. I don't remember where we had it the last or where you had it the last time, but I feel like this Token Chains is one of those seasons that gets better the more you watch.
It gets better every time. Because then you get to that one scene where I think it's like Taj, Steven, and someone else. They're like, yeah, I'd vote for JT to win. Like, let's do that. Like, no one has ever said that before. It's crazy.
Like, I have an idea. Let's root for ourselves to win Survivor. Huh? How's that sound?
Crazy.
I like this.
And we were in a time when people did that. So
exactly. All right. We're up to number 8. I guess we disagreed a bit on this one. Alexa had this was her number 3. I had it at 15, but still I think top 15 pretty worthy.
Pretty same, yeah.
Yeah. It's not that bad. Survivor Australia.
Yeah. We had it's got it all. It's what I love about Australia is like if you told me 39 seasons in Survivor. It's kind of like how everyone says Richard Hatch winning, like made Survivor what it is. The fact that someone who was made in a lab to win Survivor loses to the older mother is like, you can't write that. And he jumps up and cheers and you don't know if it's for himself or for her. That finale itself is just, it's unbeatable. I think it's a fantastic season, and I know that Colby and Jerry alone, it's good characters. I think Tina's a really, really great winner. I love Australia.
Yeah, and it has the Mike Scoopin falling in the fire, proving like, wait a second, this isn't in a studio. Yeah, like this. Well, yeah, now, but at the time, no. Alexa with the hot take there, hot take. you know, I mean, this is probably the most iconic cast in Survivor history, and I do believe that it. season. More than half of this cast has played a second time, which tells you how great this cast is. I know that a lot of them maybe have taken a step,
like wicked famous.
Yeah, like now, like a lot of people have taken a step back, maybe because of, you know, outside the game issues, some inside the game issues. Some people just have different beliefs than certain people on the season. But I mean, you go through this and you have Kimmy Kappenberg, Jeff Varner, Jerry Manthe, Amber Burkich, Colby Donaldson, Tina Wessing, Alicia Calloway, who else? Jeff Varner. Is that the eight who have played again? And then the people who haven't played again, that means Roger Bingham, Elizabeth Filarski, who now Hasselbeck, Keith Famy, like hilarious, Kel Gleason, Mad Dog, like
Mad Dog.
Deb Eaton is like the most iconic first boot. There's so much amazing in this season that the most boring player on this season came back and won All-Stars, is about to play for a third time, and is one of the most iconic members of the community of reality TV superstars. The most boring player on this season. That's insane. So yeah, Australia, just the best cast. I did say Varner twice. I know. I can't. Who did I not say? There's somebody I didn't say who deserved the credit that I didn't give the credit that they were due. But yeah, I love Australia. Just not as much as Alexa, who put it at number 3.
Yeah. But again, 15-3, kind of the same difference on this one.
Kind of the same. I mean, top 3, top 5 is pretty much like, these are my all times. Like, I got to watch this. But yeah.
All right. Now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Everybody's been waiting for this. You all wanted to know if we were ever going to say
Game Changers.
Game Changers. Yeah. David versus Goliath, number 7. Carl, if he wasn't in the chat before, he just heard us, his ears just pricked up, and now he's coming in here right now. Yes, David versus Goliath coming in at number 7. I put it at 9. Alexa put it at 8. Because of the discrepancies we had between Amazon and Australia, it comes in ahead of both of them. So that's why it's coming in at number 7. I mean, this is like without a doubt, I think, the best of the seasons from 34 on. There's none that even come close to as good as 37. You can make arguments that Koh Rong, Cambodia, and Millennials or Gen X are better than David versus Goliath. But like in the last, up until Cagayan, I mean, this has to be a top 2 or 3 season since then. I think we both agree on that. We might just have different seasons ahead of it in that group, but it's great.
And it all comes down to the cast.
Yeah.
And they're good twists. I mean, the I Don't Nullifier happens, which I really something like should be more controversial, but I mean, the cast insane. Like the fact that Dan and Johnny Mundo are gone like back to back so early is shocking. And Angelina is insane. And Nick is like kind of the most normal person out there, which is probably how he ends up winning. Davey, Alec, everyone is just so good on the season. Christian and Gabby, season's fantastic. It does such a great mix of combining characters and personal moments within the characters, funny moments within the characters, and having them actually play and seeing some really, really good strategy, seeing the Goliaths just totally steamroll, falling apart, coming back together. Mm-hmm. The Davids pick themselves back up, they fall apart, and then the Jabronis end up getting in the final 3. It's perfect.
Yeah, by final 9, the Davids had done the unthinkable. They'd gotten rid of all of the Goliaths that they needed to. They had the numbers, and then Gabby felt nervous, and she votes out the Godfather. And the Godfather goes, and then Gabby goes, and then Christian goes, and then Davey goes. And it's like, what did you do? You had it right there. The Johnny Mundo blindside is like one of the best blindsides in recent memory for sure. And then, yeah, I mean, you talk about the Dan going home. I think because it was Dan and because it was the Davids who played it on Dan, that's why it's really not as controversial as it could have been.
Yeah, 100%. Great season. I think I'm so excited to look back on this like 2 years from now. But I don't know. I think this is such a good season. Well,
where Millennials versus Gen X went down, I think David versus Goliath has a chance to move up.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's what I would think. Along with our next season, which I moved up 3 spots, and somebody way earlier in this chat said, you know, Phil, this season wasn't just Michelle. Well, damn well might as well have been, okay? Because our number 6 is Survivor Koh Rong. I got it at number 5. I put it into my top 5 finally. I stand by that wholeheartedly. I think it's an amazing, amazing season. Alexa, you put it at number 10, so it's still in your top 10. But yeah, I think Survivor Koh Rong is one of the most unpredictable seasons Survivor's ever had. And that's what makes it so good. And I love the pre-merge. I love a lot of things that go on here. I love the post-merge. I like the characters. We had great villains.
I mean,
I know everybody hates Scott Pollard. I know it.
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We hated him. And that's what made it good.
Yes, exactly.
Watching him go down was so satisfying.
Yes. When Ty does not give him that idol, it's beautiful. It's like they wrote the show. Because, you know, when you build up a great villain on a Game of Thrones or something like that, you need to build them over the course of season after season and then kill them. And everybody goes crazy when you kill them. But, like, for this season, Scott Pollard, it was like, oh, my God, we can't stand this guy. From day one, him and Jason calling Alicia Blondie and getting over on her and getting idols and blah, blah, blah. And now they're going to figure it out. And then it's just like, you're not going to do it? No.
You can go home now.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. I know there's a lot of medevacs. Neil getting medevac, Joe getting medevac, Caleb getting medevac. But honestly,
I like the medevacs.
I don't want to be a dick, but it was kind of like the three most boring people on the season got medevaced. And I know that's like bad to say, but like it didn't feel like it affected the game as much as it probably did. And like Neil's medevac happened very early, and I think Neil had a lot of game left to play, but I wasn't super invested in Neil. And that night, Aubrey goes home if Neil doesn't go, and I would give up Neil over Aubrey.
Yeah. I think just like the medevac, like the cable medevac, that is just some of the...
Caleb.
What?
You called it cable.
No, did I say cable? I thought I said cable.
Sorry, it was funny.
I mean, that's how memorable he was.
Yeah.
Like, that medevac was just the craziest television I've ever watched. That was just horrifying. And I think they did that so well. And I think people don't like when medevacs happen, but I don't like them, but they bring Survivor back and they make it really real. So, especially this one where everyone's falling apart, was just really crazy to watch.
Yeah, it was really, really crazy. I mean, this was a brutal, brutal location. And I think that
going back there.
Yeah. So we didn't click anything for Korong yet. Anybody say anything about Michelle? Michelle. Where's Michelle's stuff? I wasn't paying attention. I was too into it.
All right. We're going to hit our top five.
We're finally at our top five. Korong, David versus Goliath, and Melanos versus Shinex did not make it, everybody. So get pumped.
They did not.
All right. So number five. We have Survivor Micronesia. I have it at 7. Alexa, you had it at 4. I mean, is anybody going to argue with us that Survivor Micronesia belongs in the top 5?
I don't think anybody could fight that.
Yeah, like I put it at 7, and I still say, like, yeah, I understand why it's a top 5 season. Like,
exactly.
It's amazing. It's like a broken record with this season. You just keep on going, and it's just like Blindside, idle play, Amy going home, all the pre-merge stuff. Like,
actual
it's just an amazing season.
Actual good favorites.
Yes.
Like, favorites are insane. So good. Ozzy and Amanda, so good.
It's unbelievable from top to bottom. Eric giving up the idol, obviously, the stick, Jason, Joel, Mikey B. Oh my God. It's all so good. Johnny Fairplay getting voted out first.
You forgot he's on that season.
It's so good. So, I mean, I don't know what more you can say about Micronesia that hasn't already been said. Speaking of seasons, how much more can you say about them that hasn't already been said? Alexa, our number 4.
Heroes versus Villains, the 20th season of Survivor.
Yes.
Another one where, what can you say? Russell in Parvati, the Tyson voting himself out, the double idols, JT, the opening challenge. There's too much.
Yeah, the pre-merge is unbelievable on this season, and I put it at number 4.
Post-merge gets a little questionable.
Yeah, I used to have this as my number 2, and I've dropped it down since, just because the post-merge is definitely a little bit more boring. The early on post-merge is good, and then, like, you know, you get the Colby, Danielle, Amanda thing, which is hilarious, but like, it's not as strategic anymore after that. So, yeah, it drops down a little bit. So this is fun, RD. I'm just throw that up there for you so that you can, I mean, just honestly.
Sorry in advance.
You got like 5 minutes. Turn the freaking thing off. I mean, do it, because you're going to be real pissed at the 1 and 2 because they're just mine and Alexa's number ones.
Yeah. But number three,
which actually came with the same amount as number 2. It's just that neither of us put it as our number 1. But number 3 is Survivor Kageon.
Yes, it is.
Survivor Kageon coming in at number three. I mean, again, out of all the new school seasons, it's just like obvious. Like, I don't know. What else can you say about it? Like, I don't know. Like, you have the amazing characters, everything like that. it's just so good. It's like everything about Kageon. Talk about the returners, like Woo, Tasha, Tony, Spencer, Cass. They all delivered the second time they played. Like,
they all delivered.
And Tony's their about to deliver his third time.
Yeah. Their characters hold up. Like, they don't get worse in terms of character. Like in terms of entertainment on their second seasons. And that the Kageon is just such a ridiculous group of people where they're really not all that likable, but they're just such a hot mess together. And it's like, oh, it's a disaster. I love it.
Yeah.
Kristen Eggert, you have the floor.
Yeah. Before we move on though, I just want to say too, like Bryce Isaiah, I mean, he was on Kageon. People forget that. That's Kageon.
Yeah. I got to rewatch just to like see what he did on that season.
All right, Alexa, number two, your favorite
number
season
two,
of Survivor.
My favorite season of Survivor. Step aside, Kristen Eggert. It is Survivor Vanuatu. Absolutely love this season. I love storylines and I love characters, and Survivor Vanuatu delivers on both. Vanuatu, Leon Flip is iconic. Chris Doherty, Phil made me watch the season. I was like, that guy's such a loser. He has to get out first. Ends up freaking winning. I mean, that alone is so good. This, I think, does the guys versus girls so much better than Amazon. Because in Amazon, they end up like flirting with each other and being friends. In this one, there's no love there. Girls steamroll the guys. And then in the end, Chris totally just like turns them all against each other and ends up winning. Giving Julie back her hat. Like, mm-hmm. Jeff's rolling his eyes the whole time. He's such a freaking slime ball, and they all eat it up. Amy is, like, one of my favorite players. I would love to see her play again. Eliza's nuts. Twyla is so great. This season is unbelievable.
Yeah. This is a good comment here, boring and bland. Amazon is boys versus girls. Vanuatu is men versus women.
Ooh,
I have
like that.
It's very true, though. And this is another season. Maybe I just like, the Southern, Midwestern-type people more. But like, I love the cast of Survivor Vanuatu. I love the women that go pre-merge when Eliza should have been an early boot every time. Poor Dolly. I mean, come on, Dolly. You should have lasted so much longer than you did. Mia. I love the women's alliance that comes together. I love the way they just vote out the guys. I mean, Rory, Sarge, Chad, JP, who I have had the privilege of meeting, and boy, is JP a JP. you have John. Both Johns are great. Brady, like, who only wants to play Survivor again and goes home because the fat guy couldn't get across the beam. But this ain't just about getting across beams. This is about winning. I think this storyline is one of the best ever. I have it at number six instead of number one. I used to have it in my top five. I moved Korong into five and I moved this one to number six. I love Vanuatu. I think that if you're looking for an old school season that's got a really amazing storyline that you can watch every time and you kind of smile and laugh, because you're just like, oh man, I can't believe this is about to happen again. I can't believe this is about to happen again. It's just so good. It was Brooke, not Brady. Thank you. There was a guy named Brady though. But yeah, he was just an amazing winner, Chris Doherty. It's a shame we're not going to be seeing him on 40. He was so good. Another season, when you watch it the first time, it's not that great. You rewatch it knowing what happens and it is just absolutely unbelievable. I love it so much too. Alexa, you have it at number one, which is wrong, but I do agree with you. It should be near the top because the number one season for the every time that we do this, it should have been last time, but y'all were smoking crack or something. I don't know what you guys were doing. You and Will were out of your damn minds. But number one is Survivor China. Came in as my number one season, Alexa's number two season. I mean, that's blowing away the competition, right? That's like almost a perfect game.
Well, Alexa, yeah.
If Alexa could have just not gone crazy and put Vanuatu at one, we would have had a perfect thing for China. But Survivor China, I think, is the best showing of what Survivor is supposed to be. It's a great mix of old school and new school. There's idols, but not too many idols. There's two idols. Hidden in the middle of camp. You have fake idols being played. You have people throwing challenges to get rid of really big competitors. You have people getting kidnapped, brought to other tribes. Lots of twists on this season. They all work perfectly. Love Leslie. Courtney Yates is the best Survivor character of all time. James Clement, Amanda, Todd, Denise, Jean Robert is just a complete sleazeball, and who doesn't love him? It's just crazy Dave. I mean, it's just unbelievable. PG and Jamie. There's so much here, and it's so good. And it's exactly what Survivor's supposed to be. On this season, Aaron gets screwed, but he's really the only player on this season who gets screwed. That's how Survivor should be. One person, two people can get screwed, but everybody else getting outsmarted by other people playing better games, using the advantages to their advantage, nothing too crazy going on. I think that it's just the perfect example of what it's supposed to be.
It's so good because you're exactly right. It has the mix of what every single person wants in Survivor. It has strategy. It has a little bit of idols, but not too many. It has top tier characters. It has the location. People who are into the location. It has the theme and the culture for people who are into that. It has everything. It is such a good season. And how many people come back from China? I mean, Todd hasn't, but maybe almost did. But that season is just so incredibly good. Very deserved number one.
Yeah, I think it's the best. It's always been my favorite. It's going to be hard for it to be topped. I mean, there's been times where I've thought about moving it down, but then you watch it and you just realize, like, those characters, man. Courtney Yates was ahead of her time. James Clement, ahead of his time. Amanda Kimmel, one of the biggest, most iconic players in Survivor history. And I don't even love Amanda Kimmel as much as everybody else, and she's just iconic. Mm-hmm. Love it. So that's our rankings. Alexa, do I run back through them or do I not run back through them?
We could put them on. I don't know. Do you want to? I feel like we could put them in the description.
Oh, we don't want to put them in the description. Nobody's going to watch the video then. They're not going to listen to our funnies.
Oh, I would listen to the funnies. I don't know, whatever you want.
I'll just read them back through. We'll just go from bottom to top. Alexa, you got an hour and a half for me to read these off again?
Yep, go for it.
38, Redemption Island. 37, Karamoan. 36, One World. 35, Thailand. 34, Worlds Apart. 33, Nicaragua. 32, South Pacific. 31, Fiji. 30, Game Changers. 29, All-Stars. 28, Ghost Island. 27, Samoa. 26, Edge of Extinction. 25, Marquesas. 24, Cook Islands. 23, Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. 22, San Juan del Sur. 21, Borneo. 20, Palau. 19, Pearl Islands, 18, Africa, 17, Philippines, 16, Cambodia, 15, Blood versus Water, 14, Guatemala, 13, Panama, 12, Gabon, 11, Millennials versus Gen X, 10, Amazon, 9, Token Jeans, 8, Australia, 7, David versus Goliath, 6, Korong, 5, Micronesia, 4, Heroes versus Villains, 3, Cagayan, 2, Vanuatu, 1, China. There it is. Alexa, if we ever lose the list again, just remember to listen to an hour and 31 to an hour and 32 of this podcast. It's all in order.
Hey, we shaved like an hour and a half off of when we did it with Will. That was excessive.
Yeah, that was excessive. Me and Will, the first time we did this, it was two podcasts. So that tells you how long we talked. But that was also the first time we'd ever really talked about it. So
yeah, so that'll do it.
So Alexa, take us home.
Give us your takes, everybody. Tell 4 and 5 are perfect. All of these are perfect, especially the fact that Pearl Islands sucks. Give us your takes. Comment, like, share. You guys know the deal. For those of you who are new, because we have a large influx of new followers earlier on this off season, welcome. Follow us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, all Survivor Specialists, Phil and Alexa. And make sure to become a patron. As you guys have heard earlier, we've been doing a ton of patron podcasts. If you're a $1 patron, you can join our Facebook group where we put a lot of good stuff. You can, for $5, you get 2 Q&As per month in the off season. You ask us whatever you'd like. People ask us some pretty ridiculous questions and some Survivor related ones. In season, we only do once a month. If you're a $10 patron, you get all of the below, inclusive of one retrospective. And if you're a $20 patron, right now, you're getting a lot of good season 40 content or alleged season 40 content, and you get to join our power rankings game where you get the opportunity to win a buff in season. So become a patron, go to patreon.com/survivorspecialist, and we miss you guys. We'll be back soon, hopefully before the cast is announced, but if not, that's only probably about 2 weeks away, so we'll see you guys soon.
And StreamYard gives us a really long end broadcast. And this person said we only mentioned Michelle 7 times. So when I click end broadcast and it takes 15 Should seconds for it to Michelle, end, Michelle. We're just going to keep saying Michelle, Alexa. So here we go. Michelle, 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 Michelle.